We are ready for NERSA and the municipalities to release the stage 16 load shedding schedules so
Wow.
we can do it.
I'm Carol Ofori, and this is the Carol Ofori Podcast for thought-provoking conversations. So this app has been around for almost 10 years, and it would be difficult to find a South African who's never heard of it. It would also be difficult for a South African to live without it. I'm talking about Eskom Sepush. It has been around since 2015 and now has about 8 million users. Now, Eskom Sepush is literally our lighthouse in times of darkness. It tells us exactly when load shedding will affect us, and it is personalized for every single suburb in South Africa. It literally is genius. Speaking of genius, I have one of the geniuses with me, one of the founders of the South African life-saving app, Dan Southwood Wells. Hey Dan, how are you?
Good, Carol. Thanks for having me.
So it's so lovely to hear that you are originally from Durbs and now living out there by the mountain and the ocean.
I severely miss the warm ocean. So it's great being in Cape Town and there's nice lifestyle out here, but I miss the warm ocean daily.
Speaking of warm oceans, like, we wouldn't be able to keep warm and eat warm food if it wasn't for this application. Many South Africans would be sitting in the cold because they have not known exactly when they were going into darkness. I want to go back to the origins of Eskom Sepush, the name, first of all. How did that name come about?
I mean, ultimately, there's a technology in mobile app development called push notifications. And this, the simplest way to try, you know, to explain our name is that we're push notifications for Eskom schedules. There's a bunch of, you know, fable and lore around the name. And, you know, it might have been named something before, but we'll deny that until the end. The name is simply, it's just push notifications. And actually, over time, and over the last year or so, we've been moving more to the name just ESP. What does that stand for? It can stand for multiple different things. But ultimately, it comes down to information is power. If you've got the right information at the right time, you can plan your life for yourself, for your business, for your community. And that's what we're about.
Right. I mean, many people hearing that it's got to do with push notifications is it's a marvel for me, because I always think what most South Africans think when the lights go out and you're making this delicious stew and you've got guests over, and what expression that would come out of someone's mouth being very angry and very frustrated. So I'm quite amused that it's got to do with push notifications and not something else, because it just sounds.
So we know that load shedding it's not great, and we're 100% aware of that. But we do also like to think that we make people feel a little bit better, you know, that we give them a platform where they can at least be told that their power is going to be out at a certain time. So it's not great, but at least you're aware of when it's going to happen, so that you can plan around it. I think if we were, you know, stuck in the dark in terms of when our power was going to go off, it would be a pretty terrible situation. And it's quite funny how now it's stage two, stage three, and it's not too bad. But once we get to stage four, stage five, stage higher than that, and we start getting those 4 hour slots, we start suffering quite extensively.
Right.
But yeah, I often say, even when I speak publicly, I say to the crowd, I enjoy heckling, because I want someone to, you know, shout some sort of expletive at me. And as long as it makes them feel better, then I'm happy to receive it. And often with the Eskom Sepush app, we get quite a lot of hate directed at us. But we often say, as long as it makes people feel better, then bring it.
So I'm also trying to get to, you know, the brains behind this. How did you guys decide this is how we're going to do it? And then your information is spot on. Early days, how were you getting this information? Because nobody really knew what was going on. I'm very curious to find out the whole genesis and the beginning points of it and how you guys got together to do this.
Yeah, so founder and myself, so Hanman Moritz, who I work with on this project, and we actually have one other staff member, but we can talk about that later. We started this back in 2015, and ultimately we were sitting in an office, the company that we worked at, and Herman said to me, Dan, you could probably make something that just lets me know, or if we should just stay in the office for 2 more hours or go home, you know, at our normal time, because sometimes it's just nice to be told, you know, without having to go and check a piece of information.
Yeah.
Let me go and check. Can we have something that notifies me? Dan, do you know what? You should stay in the office a little bit later today, because if you go home, you're not going to have power. So might as well work another 2 hours and maybe have a shorter day tomorrow, kind of thing. So that was the ultimate genesis, was something very simple that, you know, myself and Hammond threw together in, over a weekend. And we found it quite useful over the December holidays in 2014, actually. And then in 2015, we started off the year and load shedding was back. And Herman said, let's make an app. You know, it was that time back in 2015. We were all still getting over the headache of BlackBerry and BBM. I think Mixit might have still been around, or it was slowly just dismantling because of WhatsApp and BBM. And it was a time where, you know, everyone was joking, is there an app for that? And there wasn't. There wasn't one for load shedding. And we were like, hey, well, we've been playing with the data and the information. Let's build one. Hammond had some experience building apps because we were working in mobile banking security at the time. And over a handful of weekends, he quickly built an app that was very simple, and you could load up your area and lo and behold, use push notifications and let you know when you would be affected and what the stage was. And that was the start. What surprised us was 6 weeks after launching that app, I think it was about 50,000 users.
Wow.
which was huge in 2015. If you think of, you know, nine and a half years ago, almost 10 years ago, smartphone penetration wasn't anywhere near what it is now. And it was huge after 6 weeks. We're like, wow, this is incredible. And near the end of the year, I think August was when load shedding ended in 2015. We had, you know, over 250,000 users, which was massive. It was like the basically, you know, the entire smartphone market in South Africa at the time. And it was particularly huge for us. And we won an award, which was quite coveted at the time, which was an App of the Year award. And funnily enough, when we won that award, it was a day or two later, load shedding ended. It went away.
Yeah. So we thought.
Yes. You know, there's a famous quote, and I avoid politics in Eskom Supush, but there's a famous quote by Cyril in 2015 that said that in 18 months, we will forget that load shedding existed. And we did. And we did. He said that in mid 2015, and we did. In 18 months, we completely forgot about load shedding. We moved along with our lives. Hammond changed companies, and I went to go and work for a big online retailer. And in 2018, for fun, I spent a weekend at my mother-in-law's house, and I rebuilt the application in the technology called Flutter, just for fun. And later that year, bam, load shedding was back. And we've had it ever since.
Yeah. Ever since. So now that you've got this team, it's yourself, your partner, and you say one other person. Is this the whole team of Eskom Supush, or are there other people that come together to service these 8 million subscribers?
No, there's just three of us. We started off, Hammond and I, doing this for completely personally and as a side project in our spare time, you know, weekends, evenings, early mornings, and then went on with our day jobs. And in the beginning of last year, we both, Hammond and I, discussed and we said, listen, we need some help. Things are getting quite busy. We had an idea that load shedding in 2023 was going to be quite significant compared to 2022. And we said it would be great if we could get someone to come in and help us. So we made a hire. Catherine came and joined us in April last year, and she's been fantastic. She's been helping us. So we expanded the company by 50% by hiring her, and she's been fantastic in terms of helping us. And in 2023 was busy in terms of load shedding and operations, schedule changes, Johannesburg City Power, Eskom changes, Etekwini changes as well. There were a number of different changes across the country. But yeah, on that, so I mentioned Hammond and I used to do this as a side hustle, and we both had full-time jobs working in corporate, you know, jumping the corporate ladders kind of thing. And we had teams, and we had big bosses, and we had teams of people reporting into us because we were both managers. And then at the end of 2021, Hammond, he was looking for something new, and his work wasn't quite, you know, fulfilling him, the company he was at. And he was thinking about taking a break. And I said, why don't we take a risk and you work on Eskom Supush full time from the beginning of the year, 2022. And his only goal would be to make a little bit of money so that Dan could join him later in the year. We could afford to pay Hammond through, you know, some of the money that we had for a couple of months with an Eskom Supush. And we said, well, let's take the gamble and take Hammond on full time. And yeah, he jumped in and he worked on it just by himself for most of 22. And then later in the year, I also left my job and started working on Eskom Supush full time. So this is my full time job, Hammond's full time job. And now we've got Catherine as well.
And is it her full-time job as well?
It's her full-time job, yeah.
Wow.
So it's three people and we're flat out.
Wow, flat out. Do you have a very good relationship with Eskom? How do you get these updates? Do you have a mole? How is it? Because literally as things happen, like boom, you get that notification.
We operate 100% in the public. So we have no formal relationship or anything, any secret handshakes with any municipality or with Eskom. There's no committed relationship. We are friendly, with a number of different municipalities through their media team. So we operate as a member of the public. We contact the municipalities and ESCOM through their media teams. And some municipalities are more open than others, but that's exactly how we operate. We never want to be labeled with misinformation or spreading misinformation. So we always make sure that the information that we push is publicly verifiable. And in that case, if we say push a piece of information that, let's say, as an example, Itiyekwini Municipality hasn't put out in a press release, you know, we could be labeled as spreading misinformation.
Right. And do you have a relationship with ESCOM in any way? Do they like you? Do they like this name? Have they reached out to you at any stage in the game?
We've had over the years a handful of informal and friendly conversations, but there's no relationship. But we acknowledge each other's existence and we do talk to each other through the media team. Often in some of ESCOM's media briefings that they have online as well, we join and we ask some questions as sort of members of the press. But we're friendly. There's no other commitment beyond that.
I have to ask this question. I mean, for guys who are giving us the updates on when things are going off and going on, do you have consistent power in your homes, or do you rely on the app yourselves?
I'm a very big user of ESCOM Supush. Since our daughter was born 16 months ago, we've had load shedding, you know, almost every day. And having a reliable way to tell when your power is going to be on and off has been incredible. So I'm an avid user of ESCOM Supush. So I live in a block of apartments and we've sort of had an ongoing conversation with the body corporates about potentially putting in solar on the common property, which is the roof, but it never really gets anywhere. So nope, I'm affected by load shedding. I feel it as much as any other South African. As a member of ESCOM Supush, we also not a big fan of load shedding. We also wish it would go away as much as any other South African. We're just here to help you ride the wave until it can, you know, fizzle out in the end at some point.
Right. Do you believe it will fizzle out in the end at some point? As people who work in this space, monitoring, seeing what's going on, this power station's down, that power station's up, this one's giving this much watts. Do you think we're ever gonna not have load shedding?
I do, Carol, because I'm an optimist. I'm just not quite sure what those timelines are. So it will go away. I always say that it will go away in 6 to 18 months. And I've been saying that for the last 9 years.
Wow.
But it will go away. There are a number of different plans in the works, but I'm not the person to speak about that because I'm not ESCOM and I'm not government. But what has been amazing to see is that in 2023, some of the data that ESCOM actually releases, because they track it as well, is that I think there's been over 5,000 megawatts of private solar installed over the last year, which is incredible. And I think because of that, me as someone who doesn't have solar in my apartment, I get a lot less load shedding because of that. So there's been a huge investment by private parties in solar and inverters and batteries. And because of the solar specifically, not the inverters and batteries, but because of the solar, it means that actually all of us are experiencing less load shedding. But yeah, there needs to be longer term solutions. That just helps, you know, when it's sunny.
Right. What other uses does the site have? Most of us interact with it because we put our suburb in and we get those push notifications you mentioned. But what other, I believe the site can do some other things as well.
Absolutely. So we've gone through a few different iterations, and where we are currently is we're pushing out information in terms of more local area alerts. So load shedding is our core product, and we're on top of that in terms of schedules and changes. But there are other types of outages that are unplanned or planned, and we're trying to, you know, use the information that is again publicly available from municipalities and from, you know, ESCOM or other power providers, and then push that to you as the person in that area to let you know. So we're currently only doing this in Johannesburg and in Cape Town, just because that happens to be where I live. But Johannesburg is our main test area at the moment, and the main driving force behind us doing area alerts in Johannesburg is the Johannesburg water crisis that's happening right now. We're pushing a substantial amount of information to locals in their suburbs about water, when it will be on, when it will be off, to assist them there. And we're testing that in Johannesburg at the moment. It seems to be going very well. And we're going to be rolling that out, you know, across the country in different ways. You may have seen it in Itiyekwini. You see the little red dots in the app on your area.
Yeah.
And it draws your attention into some other alert that's not load shedding.
Right.
Besides that, all of these, there's some conversations, and you can jump into some conversations in the section of the app called Ask My Street. And the rationale behind us making that is quite fun, in that lots of people used to email us and say, hey, my power's off, or my power's on, or my water's on, water's off, or what was that noise? What was that smell? There's a house around the corner and there's a dog barking, and how do I get hold of someone to help me? And instead of people emailing us, you know, us getting thousands of emails on a weekly basis, we said, let's try and make a way for people to communicate with their neighbors so that they can ask the questions at a much more local context. And that's Ask My Street. So that's been around for a while, and it's got some somewhat good stories in it. There's some dodgy stories in it as well. we moderate that quite extensively.
Mm-hmm. That leads me into my next question. Water is a problem. I mean, in Itigwini, we've had some serious water problems where people have taken to the streets because of these services. Yeah. Are there any other apps in the making? Maybe Water Sapush? I don't know. Are there any apps in the making?
We're always talking about ideas. We had a really cool discussion earlier about, you know, potentially looking at helping with tasks, you know, for communities or reminders for other things that are not just load shedding. And we're always talking about ideas. Between the three of us, we've got loads and loads of ideas. And, you know, it often comes down to, unfortunately, there's just three of us and only so much time in a day. But where we are focusing at the moment is the area alerts. And those are the red dots that you see within the app. And that is looking good. It's got some improvement that needs to be done, especially through like automation and AI that we're using there.
I see. I'm also curious on how the apps has gotten to a point where all of you rely on this as obviously the income. How does the app make its money?
We're an advertiser. So we're a publisher of adverts. So if you look in the app, you see some ads. We hate adverts passionately. However, we want to keep the app free. We don't want to make it a subscription-based app. So that's why we've got some adverts within the app, and we try and keep it as small as possible with the advertising so it's not too impacting to your user experience. And that small amount of advertising is, if I make a joke, it's keeping our lights on. It's sustaining us, allowing us to keep three people afloat so we can continue working on this and pay our hosting costs. It's by no means lucrative, and we're not buying houses in Umhlanga or Belito, but we, you know, it is keeping us afloat. And that's why we need to keep on talking about, you know, what's next? What are we going to build next? Because that's what we, you know, we've got the opportunity to build now, and we're trying to improve the things with alerts and notifications, and we've got a lot of experience there.
Now, what's the highest stage that we can reach that you have made provisions for? Because on social media, there's talk of like, say, stage 16, stage 20. Yes. We know that on the app, as we stand, we go up to stage 8.
We are ready for NERSA and the municipalities to release the stage 16 load shedding schedules.
Wow.
So we can do it. Sadly, we can do it. It's just a change in our software in the back end, and be ready for stage 16 load shedding schedules. We've been testing that just to make sure we are ready with United Kingdom's load shedding schedules.
Wow.
They actually have load shedding schedules, and we heard what we think is a truthful rumor is that, you know, the United Kingdom actually worked with Eskom to build out their load shedding schedules. And the reason being is that, you know, Eskom is actually very good at implementing load shedding and has lots of experience doing it compared to any other country in the world. So United Kingdom, it's a positive swing on a puck thing.
Yeah.
But they've got 18 stages. They call them levels, actually. And that goes from 3 hours a day of load shedding to 0 hours of power in 24 hours. We've been testing that we're ready for the stage 16 changes using the United Kingdom load shedding schedules. But we're also ready for the United Kingdom should they ever implement load shedding, but I don't think they will.
Wow. You've shooken me, as the young people say. Which parts of South Africa would you say have got the worst load shedding since you have schedules? Who do you think gets hit hardest?
I think it's fair. Honestly, the place that gets the least amount of load shedding, from what we can tell in terms of hours at a location, is Etiquini. And I think Etiquini also won an award for the automation that they did in terms of implementing load shedding. So what we can tell from our data is that Etiquini, if you overall, it has the same amount of load shedding as percentage-wise as any other municipality. But if you're in a specific area or a specific street address, you'll have less load shedding than say someone in a house in a different municipality. If I had to say electricity outages, city of Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, seems to be the hottest place for outages at the moment. In terms of outages being the least, it's more than likely Cape Town. And then at the worst side is more than likely some Gauteng municipality. But I would need to do a little bit more digging into that. So that's my gut feeling from what I can tell from emails and contacts.
And what other things can you share with us just from the data you've gathered since the app's implementation? Just interesting fun facts that you can share with us.
Sure. That's a good question. Yeah, we started in 2015 with an app. We have over 8 million users. We support every single municipality in South Africa and all power providers. So there's some smaller power providers, and there's Eskom and the City of Cape Town as well, which the City of Cape Town has different stages to Eskom. So we support that as well. For that is that they've got Steenbras pump storage, which acts like a big battery. So we support that. In terms of facts, our biggest user base would be Gauteng, followed by Cape Town and then Durban, you know, rings true because that's the population of South Africa, really. We had, I think it was upwards of 75% more load shedding in 2023 than we had in 2022.
Now, I believe that over the years that you've had some people who've been interested in buying the app from you guys, and you haven't received any offers that tickled your fancy. Would you be keen on selling the app to an investor of some sort?
I think, Carol, you know, everyone's got a number. So likely at the moment, you know, all the offers that we have received have been fairly cheeky. And we know that we're sitting with a lot of users that we want to build features for. We're in a very fortunate place as a place to launch an app, and that we don't have any investors. And that's Ham and I, you know, we built Eskom to Push with what I joke about as our sweat equity, and that we just put all the time in weekends and evenings and our own personal capital as well, and funding, you know, our own personal money in the initial days to pay for the hosting costs and the running costs. So we're in a fortunate place that we don't have investors. We don't have shareholders that we need to keep happy. Would we look for an investor? Possibly. At the moment, no. And the reason for that is we don't necessarily need the funding to grow or to sustain the company right now. But if load shedding had to end today, we would need to relook that.
Right, I see. And as we come to the end of our conversation, I mean, you're running a business, and I'm always inspired by small businesses that do big things. I mean, you're three guys servicing 8 million people every single day, every single hour, servicing their needs. What drives you? Like you just mentioned now, how you put your own money into it, your own time, working on weekends, leaving your cushy job and doing this and saying, we're taking the gamble. What inspires you? What keeps you going? And how do you get through the dips, you know, when there is electricity and there's not much advertising coming in? How do you get through the dips?
It's fun. It comes down to that. And sometimes when Hammond and I make a decision and we're stuck, we ask each other, is it fun? Is it going to be fun? And I say that in a bit of a fun and cheeky way, but, you know, are we going to learn something from it? Are we going to enjoy doing it? Are we going to feel passionate about it? Because we know that if we're going to find something fun and we'll be passionate about it, we're going to do our best work. We're going to be our best selves while doing it as well. I think there's a whole bunch of things we do as a small business that are not fun, but, you know, that's the necessary evil of running a company. But we try and maximize the good and the fun that you're going to get out of it. And once that equilibrium swings to not fun, then you start looking for a different job. So we always try and label things of like, is this going to be the best decision? Are we going to enjoy it? Are we going to regret it later on? Like, we've both got a passion for solving problems. So we love building stuff, and we love building stuff that people are going to use and find useful. And when we see problems, we go, do you know what? We could fix that with a potential tech solution, you know, and then we go, okay, how can we do it? Can we make it useful? Why would people use it? Why would they use it compared to a competitor if a competitor exists? And then only right at the end, we go, how do you think we could make money from it? You know, and maybe some other folks approach it, you know, the money first and then the solution. But we always think of the solution first, and then we go, oh, you know, maybe this is going to cost some money to run. You know, we need to make some money to keep it going. And then, yeah, we two tech guys, and Catherine's also, you know, from the tech space, we like learning new things. So through the history of Eskom to Push, it's taught us a lot that we haven't learned in our day-to-day jobs. And it's also given us a proving ground to experiment with things in our own capacity that potentially you couldn't experiment with at a big corporate.
And obviously, so many people love you guys. You've really made life easier. Do you find people recognize you guys in public and ask you when they'll be load shedding? Do you have those funny encounters with people?
They don't recognize us in public, but when we tell anyone that we work at Eskom Swish, we get a lot of handshakes and thank yous, which is really, really like it blows my mind that people do it, and it really encourages me to do more. Some funny stories are, you know, you're just in a shopping mall or you're going up an escalator and you happen to look at someone's phone and you see the Eskom Swish app next to their chat app or next to their weather app on the homepage of the screen. And you're like, hey, that's my thing, you know? And it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling when you go look at Play Store or App Store app ratings. And, you know, Eskom Swish is it's in the top 100 of all the applications in South Africa. And it's, you know, sometimes when there's stage 6 load shedding, we're number one. You know, we're the most used application across the entire country. People wake up in the morning and they check the weather, they check the load shedding, and then they check their messages. Mm. And then doom scroll the social networks while, you know, guzzling some coffee. We've become a part of your daily life. And it's amazing to experience that as one of the founders. Like, I'm still in awe that there's so many people that use my app.
Yes, they do. And now after this podcast, so many people that may recognize you or more downloads of the app. Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, learning
Thank
about
you.
Your platform. I'm still shook at the fact that stage 16, you guys are ready. Should it be, announced? Which we hope it doesn't happen. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. No, it's been really wonderful. Thank you.
That's the Carol Ofori podcast. For thought-provoking conversations, listen at ecr.co.za under podcasts or your favorite podcast app.